This is the Generations Radio Broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson. I'm a homeschool father of five, raising our children out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado during the demise of Western civilization. And Dave Buhner also in studio with me right now. And we're also looking at the demise of the American Republic, America being probably the last of the empires. I can't think of another empire showing up anytime too soon. But do remember that America developed as an empire in the 19th century, and it came out of the English Empire, which came out of the French Empire, which came out of the Spanish Empire, which probably came out of the Holy Roman Empire, which wasn't holy, wasn't Roman, wasn't much of an empire either. But the modern empires are now coming to a close. The sun is setting on the English Empire, and England itself is in big trouble. I don't have time to share the Economist article that just came out this week, 14-page spread on the disintegration of England and the disintegration of Great Britain and possibly Scotland also claiming independence in just a couple of years.
The maps will no longer say Great Britain. They'll say kind of good, mediocre Britain.
Mediocre Britain. Or
good Britain,
or
mediocre
Britain. Maybe Britain, or used to be Britain. Well, we'll see. We'll see. But friends, the modern developed world that came out of Christianity, Christian civilization is over. The American system is coming to a close, too. America is the last, but you don't survive the way you do. You don't survive on $100 trillion of debt with 80% of young men not grown up by 30 years of age, up from 30% in 1970. I mean, you don't grow up when nobody wants to work, when the young people have no character. 50% of kids are born outside wedlock, and up from 6% in 1960. And you've got a worker to retiree ratio that's one third of what it was 50 years ago in just 10 to 20 years from now. No, friends, at this point, America is going through significant changes, and no surprise, the median income topped out in 2007. No surprise. The median income, what the average person, 50% on this side, 50% on that side, what the average person makes, has been dropping for the last 6 or 7 years. No surprise there at all. And we have not recovered from previous recessions. 80% of high school graduates unemployed or underemployed. That's twice what it was in 2001. And what, 50% of college graduates unemployed/underemployed. Okay? So that's bad. That's really, really bad. The worst that it's ever been. And according to this recent article from Drudge this morning, what, 63% of Americans participate in the labor force. That's the smallest percentage in practically recorded history, I think at least 40 years. One-third of Americans who are able-bodied, able to work, one-third of them are not working. They're on welfare. They're being taken care of by the government, no doubt. One-third being taken care of by the public dole. And, of course, about one-third are government employees anyway. So, Dave, the vast majority of Americans receive something of a paycheck from the government, which means that it's bread and games, government subsidized until this whole thing comes down. We played this game before. I think it was Rome.
Yes, and we have fewer and fewer people working in the private world who are contributing to the more people who are working for the government or who are surviving off of the proceeds of the government. Right now, somebody believes that they can make wealth out of thin air, apparently. Yeah. I don't know who came up with that idea, but people believe there's such a thing as a free lunch. There are fewer and fewer and fewer people actually producing.
And friends, I know you'd like to reverse the trends on this. Reversing the macro trends, difficult. Difficult, really, to do anything once the Titanic has hit the iceberg, except to use a lot of duct tape in the engine room down there. But the rest of us are active on the emergency life raft manufacturing centers, where things are booming and we are having fun rebuilding our microeconomies. And that's why our familyeconomics.com, that's why our Family Economics Conferences. Next conference is Denver in March of 2014 and Kansas City, October of 2014. So if you're interested in rebuilding our systems, don't forget about our Family Economics Conferences soon to come to a city near you. But in the meantime, the rest of the world is running like lemmings down the cliff to collect on their Obamacare, and that's not really happening, Dave. So far, the Obamacare website has not done well for itself. Healthcare.gov has 40,000 signups thus far. And oh, by the way, did I tell you 4.8 million Americans have lost their health insurance? So that's what, 1/1,000th of the number of people who have been able to sign up on healthcare.gov. So far, things aren't going real well. Governments are running healthcare and healthcare websites about as well as they run their post office. Well, maybe not quite as well as they run their post offices. And the governments are going to prove themselves to be as good as governments are. You abandon the free market, friends, you begin to sign everybody up for the public dole, or 78% of Americans on the public dole. 78% of Americans, according to the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, will be subsidized by the government with their health care on January 1st, 2014, except for those who don't want to become welfareites like me. Okay, there's a few people out there who's thinking, hey, maybe we'll do the exemption thing, the Christian medical sharing exemption, and they will check out SamaritanMinistries.org. And I encourage all my friends and every single person that listens to our radio program to get out of the socialist system tomorrow. Get out of the socialist system tomorrow. Get out. Stop funding abortifacients and get out of the socialist system. Don't become a socialist. Don't become a welfareite. Don't set a legacy for your children. Don't set a heritage for your children saying, children, mommy and daddy have lived off the government for the last 3 to 4 generations, and you're going to be another government slave too. I would suggest on January 1st, 2014, you say, well, our family is not going to be living on the dole, and we're going to find a better way, and a biblical approach to charity and a biblical approach to Christian medical sharing is much more preferential than whatever Obama has come up with out in Washington, D.C. I'm hoping that there will be hundreds of thousands of Christians who will exempt themselves using the exemption that was written into the health care law, by the way. The Christian medical sharing exemption was written into the law. Why not use it? Why not do this biblically? And I'm encouraging hundreds of thousands of Christians to take off, leave the Obamacare system and use SamaritanMinistries.org. Okay, Dave, so that's the spiel. And things not going well for Obamacare. You know, did you hear about those three programmers that one evening they just went home and reprogrammed the site in an evening and put together a functional website in like a couple hours? So much for the, what, $28 billion they spent on the website? Not sure how much it was a lot of money. That's all I remember. Yeah, they spent a lot of money on that website. They spent a lot of money on that website. And these three programmers... Ning Liang, George Kalagaropoulos, and Michael Wasser put their heads together, created the healthsherpa.com, a website that addresses the biggest problems with glitch-ridden healthcare.gov. They got it completely backwards in terms of what people want, Liang told CBS News. So these guys knocked this thing out in, I guess, just a couple of days in their spare time.
But Kevin, to be fair, those guys are geniuses. They work for Google and not the government.
Oh,
they work for the shadow government, not the one in D.C. So, you know,
there's something humorous about this, though.
There is something humorous about it. And that's when you need something too big to fail, nothing fails as big as government. There are some people who are speculating that this website was never meant to really function, that the sooner it can collapse the system on itself, the sooner we get to government being the only provider of health benefits to the nation. And the sooner the government can control everything about you so that this is actually working exactly as planned. I don't know that. I haven't been in those meetings. I do know this, though, that this system will be bad. This is an awful system. We do know that everything right now that government is doing, they seem to have the Midas touch in reverse. They're just turning it to just decimating it.
I call it the manure touch, if you like.
The manure touch. I was looking for a word that we could use on the show. And
manure works. Manure works, especially for the farmers out there. They know exactly what we're talking about.
It's kind of, you know, you touch it and it turns to excrement. Mm-hmm. You look at the job numbers, you know, the job rate. People focus on the unemployment rate. That's really the wrong number to look at. The employment rate's a much better number to look at. That's falling like a stone. You know, we had some new jobs last week. Wow, woohoo, we created 204,000 new jobs. 213 kids turned of age to get a job. That means turned of age than we had new jobs.
So 213,000 kids turned 18, ready to work, and they provided 204,000 new jobs, which means I guess we're back to square one. Well, Dave, here's another issue with the Obamacare thing, and I think I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. Apparently, the Obamacare system discourages marriage, encourages divorce. Here's a family out in New Jersey, the Brooklyn. A Brooklyn couple became the face of this failure when they told local media they were considering divorce because the system intentionally punishes married couples. After Obamacare rolled out, we realized that we would be saving thousands of dollars if we got divorced, says Nona Aronowitz. She and her husband, Aaron, explained that as a family of two, they make more than $62,000 level to qualify for subsidies under Obamacare. But Nona found if they live together unmarried, they qualify for the subsidies and potentially save hundreds of dollars a month in insurance. In other words, the law is actually incentivizing the collapse of families and rewarding a living arrangement that leads to a host of social ills like out-of-wedlock births, Poverty, academic failure. So what else is new, Dave? Haven't we been doing this since LBJ? I mean, this is what Lyndon B. Johnson was all about. I mean, this is how you get from a 6% illegitimacy rate in 1960 to a 43-44% rate recently. This, Dave, you get this by subsidizing it. You subsidize illegitimacy, and you will get more legitimacy. And this is exactly what is going on, friends, in our country. In just a moment, we're going to talk about what Charlie Daniels thinks about this. Here's an article from CNSnews.com. I'm going to cover in just a moment what has happened to America. It's Charlie Daniels next on the Generations broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson. Back on Generations, Kevin Swanson here with you. And as we see the breakdown of the American Republic, the breakdown of our healthcare systems, the breakdown of our education systems, the breakdown of our budgets, the massive increase in debts, the breakdown of our Social Security system. Hey, the Social Security system went into the red for the first time in 2011, which happened to be the first year at which the baby boomers started retiring and will be retiring for the next 20 years. So, friends, with a breakdown of our systems, the intentional breakdown of our social systems, our cultural systems, and our economic systems, one has to wonder whether or not some of this is intended. Dave, it seems to me that some of this may be intended. Now, on a theological level, we know that all those who hate Christ love death. So we find that in scriptures. Those who hate Christ love death. So, you know, once you walk away from absolutes, once you walk away from God's word as the standard, once you walk away from truth, once you say, I have no interest whatsoever in truth anymore, and I've abandoned God's revelation in the Word of God, and I want to destroy families, I want to destroy morality, and I want to increase the socialist state, Dave, this is, I think, an indication that somebody is out there destroying the country. And a lot of conservatives, I think, know this, and it bothers them. It bothers them that they know that there is an intentional destructive element working amongst the Democrats and many Republicans who are intentionally destroying the nation. And I don't think we ought to intentionally destroy nations. But it's just something that's happening. And I don't think there's a whole lot we can do to avoid it at this point. But David confuses people that there are people who actually hate Christ, they hate his word, they hate the Bible, they hate biblical ethics, and they love death. They want to die, and they will bring an entire society down with them.
Yeah, at a theological level, Kevin, if you were opposed to Christ, you would be opposed to his law. You'd be opposed to countries that were built upon Christ and his law, like America. You would want to see the destruction of a family. You'd want to see the destruction of marriage because it pictures Christ and his church, and you would do everything you could to mar that picture. And that's what we're seeing in a society. You would do everything you could to destroy a society that was built on equal scales, on honest money, on fear of God. You would do what you could to destroy that, and we see that happening. Now, we're on dangerous ground here when we talk about specific individuals because we don't know their heart motivations. We don't get to look into their minds and into their hearts and be able to read them that way. But what we can perhaps say is that the guy who's in the White House right now, we look at his background and we can make some suppositions. He was born to a single mother who found the only way that she could get access to the good things in life that the other white kids were was by selling herself sexually. He was abandoned by his father, and he was abandoned by his stepfather in Indonesia. He was abandoned by his grandmother.
Sad.
You know, he played in a neighborhood where he was considered biracial. That's what the other kids would have called him. He was neither black nor white, and he didn't have access to the nice bicycle and the good things they had. And you can understand how envy and jealousy would set in. He'd want to destroy what other people had. He goes to Chicago and he sits under the teaching and preaching of a guy, Jeremiah Wright, who kind of hates America, hates what America stands for, because he believes that America has been an evil nation that has disenfranchised black people, and we should go to a full communist bent. You put all that together, and I don't think it's too much to say that at least this guy doesn't hold the fathers of the country and their principles and biblical principles in high regard.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, again, hard to judge people's motivations, but friends, at least on a theological level, those who have turned away from Christ will embrace death, and they'll drag their social systems down with them, especially if they're empowered with controlling an entire nation, which is what has happened with our governments. Well, here's an article by Charlie Daniels. And Dan, you remember Charlie Daniels, don't you, Dave?
Yeah, Charlie Daniels, big country singer. Yeah, Devil country went down singer. To Georgia, all that.
Yep.
The fat man, they used to call him.
Is that right? Man, that guy could play the guitar. But anyway, he's got this article, and he's done a number of articles about Obama and Obamacare and some of his concerns. But he kind of represents the old conservative edge in America. You know, just kind of want to hang on to something that America was all about in time past. He sees what's going on around him, and he's kind of concerned. He says something has happened to America in the last couple of decades. A large part of the population has conceded its future to a government that grows bigger and more intrusive every day. Rather than take their heads out of the sand, admit that they are passing along a fiscal monster that's going to devour the prosperity of foreseeable generations, they choose to accept the eternally and historically flawed methods of socialism that are being promoted by a president who seems determined to change the very essence of the American dream. They've accepted a sold-out Senate. They've accepted a Congress whose leadership blinks every time there's a confrontation, and a Supreme Court that's about one appointment away from being a presidential rubber stamp. There's about 40% of the population who Obama could give chicken feathers to and convince them it was chicken salad, and they'd follow him off the top of the Empire State Building blindfolded. He can do no wrong in their eyes as long as he keeps playing Robin Hood and passing out the goodies. These people will wake up somewhere in the middle of the third act when the entitlement checks and food stamps stop coming to find there's nobody to take their phone calls. So that's Charlie Daniels, Dave. And, you know, it's interesting here. I got a Gallup poll that says a record number of Americans believe government is too powerful. 6 in 10 Americans believe that government's too powerful. According to a new Gallup poll, the highest proportion since Gallup began asking the question in 2002. 60% of Americans say government is too powerful. And yet they keep voting for a government that is too powerful. Americans are funny people, aren't they? On one hand, they sort of have this conservative edge where they know that, you know, building a communist government that controls every single aspect of your life is kind of a bad idea. I think they, you ask them, you know, should we have a communist ruling us? Should government control 60, 70, 80% of the gross national income? I think most of them would say, no, I think that's a really bad idea. I think you'd have 60% of Americans say it's a bad idea for government to control every little piece of our lives. And yet, Dave, when push comes to shove, they don't quite have the character to self-govern themselves. And so they turn the power over to extremely powerful governments.
Well, Americans are double-minded. They're unstable in all their ways. They want a government that regulates their neighbor but doesn't regulate them.
Yeah.
They want a government that keeps them from being offended but allows them to offend others if necessary. America has got no absolute foundation, no morals, no sense of truth, no sense of ethics, no absolute. Charlie Daniels asked, what happened to America? Well, I'll tell you what happened to America, Charlie. They stopped listening to the Psalms and they started listening to country music. You know, we started mocking that the devil went down to Georgia looking for a soul to steal. He already had the soul. He already had the soul, Charlie. That's the point. What has to happen is Christ comes down to Georgia and he redeems a soul from the dead. That's where America lost it.
Well, he says, somewhere out there in a flyover country is an honest person of exceptional intellect and impeccable integrity, God-fearing, wears the helmet of salvation, carries the sword of the Spirit, someone who's able to lead this nation back into the light. So he ends the whole thing on, there's got to be somebody out there who can lead us, you know. And man alive, seems to me that our buddy Charlie Daniels has put too many of his cards on something that doesn't exist. Because as you know, ultimately, people get the government they deserve. Well, it's a outflowing of who they have become. And Americans have become self-centered, materialistic, socialistic, slothful, narcissistic. They think about themselves. They've aborted 80 million of their own babies. And so they've cut the worker to retiree ratio by one third of what it was 50 years ago. And Americans are hoping that somehow government will take care of them womb to tomb. They don't have the character to carry this thing on. Now, we could put the blame at the churches. We could put the blame on the schools. We could put the blame on different aspects of society. But Dave, ultimately, you got to have a change of heart. There's got to be some fathers out there who take responsibility. There's got to be churches, and there have to be homeschools that really take off. And you know, 30-40% of Americans need to homeschool their kids. They need to disciple them in the truths of God's word. I'm the first to tell you that you don't need a majority to really shift the nation in a good direction. But friends, when you've only got, what, maybe 2-3% of American kids that are taught the fear of God as the beginning of wisdom in their education, it's over. You're not going to gain much ground that way. when churches are out in front, when you can't get 10% of the churches and 10% of the pastors out there standing up and saying, get your kids out of these schools that are humanistic and do not teach children to fear and to worship the true and living God in science and in the history classes. When you don't have pastors saying that, friends, you're signing your children up to be humanists and socialists. Why? Because they go to godless, humanist, socialist schools. So of course they're going to be godless and humanist. And of course the nation's going to move more towards socialism. Unless you get down to the root of it, Dave. And the root, as you know, is to get our children rooted in a discipleship that is based in the fear of God.
You know, I would tell Charlie that you really shouldn't be looking for help from men. Psalm 146 puts it really quite directly, do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man in whom there is no help. Our founders, our framers understood that men will always tend towards sin. They tried to balance the power of government out so that one man's sin would offset another man's sin. Somebody be overlooking his shoulder. And we had a bicameral legislature in order that the government wouldn't be able to grow very efficiently or very fast. It would stymie itself. Because we didn't trust the men who would eventually be leading this country. Don't put your trust in princes. Don't look for some Messiah figure to come and become the next president or to become your senator. All men will fail you. Don't look for it in your pastor either. He's going to fail you too. What you're going to have to do is you're going to have to, well, do what Psalm 146 says. You're going to start worshiping the Lord.
And I hope that Charlie Daniels isn't saying what we need is a dictator to take over this whole shooting match and create total peace and liberty on planet Earth, because anybody who puts their eggs in that basket have been disappointed probably 100,000 times in the history of the world. The tough thing about America, though, is the character is gone. God's grace has been lifted from this nation, and there is not the character. I mean, there's hardly the character to work. I mean, we're not even talking about the basic character that pagans had to establish anything of an economy. Americans have lost the character to carry on a civilization. They don't have the character to have babies. They don't have the character to raise their own children. They don't have the character to pay for their children's breakfast and lunch and dinner. And as long as that's the case, my friends, our nation's going to be in trouble. When the Titanic is going down, you don't want to hang out with people who lack character. I mean, if America is going down, if we're going to constitute one of the most significant economic crashes in the history of the world, yeah, I wonder, Dave, what's going to look like when people no longer get their welfare checks, something that Charlie Daniels points out here in this article. What happens when all these people have been carefully trained by our government systems, by our social security systems and so forth, to live off of welfare and food stamps for 45, 50, 60 years, over two, three, four generations? What happens when the welfare checks and the food stamps no longer will provide? And you know, we saw a little piece of that. Remember those Mississippi Walmarts where for just like in 10 minutes, the Walmart machines wouldn't take the food stamp cards. And they had a huge run on the store. I mean, people were ripping them off right and left, stripping the shelves of the materials and taking them off. And taking them out of there, Dave, man alive, once you've ruined the character of the nation, as we have, systematically stripped back the character of 70-80% of little boys and girls born in these inner cities over the last 3 to 4 generations, who knows what's going to happen when this nation comes crashing down. Once you've eroded the character, you've broken up the marriages and destroyed the character of our young men, what in the world will happen to this country when the welfare checks no longer are received by hundreds of millions of people across this country?
Well, I think we're not going to be looking at good, happy times. I think that's pretty obvious.
We're probably going to have to preach the gospel.
Going to have to preach the gospel.
At that point, it's going to be preach the gospel of Christ and call people to repentance and faith in Christ, because at some point, Dave, nothing else will save them. And I think they'll begin to realize that.
Well, they're beginning to realize it now, where the psalmist says, don't put your trust in princes. People are realizing they cannot trust government. They're realizing today, right now, their eyes are opening up, that the politicians will say anything in order to get power. They'll say, if you like your constitution, you can keep your constitution, period. as they shred it up. Or if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor, whatever it takes. Knowing now they're really aware that the politicians are lying. They're telling an untruth, and they're okay telling an untruth because it gets them power. So I think America's starting to wake up. They're starting to believe they can't trust princes. They wish they could trust princes. They long for the day when they could trust princes, but they're realizing they can't. But now we don't have the capital, we don't have the character to go back and build something. You can't get the toothpaste back in the tube.
Well, they gave government all that power. They centralized all that power, where back in 1900, only about 8% of the American monies flowed into governments. Now it's closer to 60 to 70%. They gave government all that power. And then after a while, they realized that governments will say anything. And when a system is based on 98.7% stealing and lying and lying and more lying, after a while, people will lose their trust in government because government did not save them and government just lied to them over a period of 4, 5, 6, 8 administrations. And finally, they give up on government. There's actually less and less, way less support for the U.S. Congress and the presidency than there were in previous generations, friends. Far, far less popular support for the public school systems, far, far less public support for you name it. Americans have lost confidence in government, while at the same time they continue to shovel more and more power into the lap of governments. But it will only increase their disappointment in upcoming administrations. So we'll see. We'll see what happens as the years go by. Important thing is that we teach our children to fear the true and living God and to believe His truth, His word, and bring His principles to bear on governments. And if they don't have the opportunity to do so in this generation, maybe the next, and then maybe the next, and then maybe the next. And that's why I wrote my book, The Second Mayflower, as a means of giving our children something of the biblical principles involved in building a state based upon secure principles that secure for us our liberties and hopefully something of a prosperous and blessed economy in the years to come. So, friends, it may not happen in this generation. We're going to have to be generational on this one. And that's why the Second Mayflower. It is a generational vision for our children as they are going to be tasked by God to disciple a nation, this nation, some nation. And we need the principles whereby we bring this about. And those principles are found in the Word of God. I've summarized them in my book, The Second Mayflower, available at our website, kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.